All right, thank you very much. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah and the book of Galatians. We'll be in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40, and we'll also be in Galatians, chapter number 6 tonight. And so if you want to find both places, we'll read from Isaiah 40, a couple of verses from Isaiah 40 first, and then we'll flip over to Galatians 6, 9. But we'll be back and forth to both of these passages tonight as we continue in our series on church health. And just a reminder, as I remind you every week, we want to belong to a spiritually healthy church, don't we? And we know that the church is not the building. And obviously not the church is the people. And we say that, don't we? The church is the people. We are the church. Are you with me tonight? Are you awake? You suffering from heat exhaustion, sunstroke? What is it tonight? Are you with me? All right. So to be spiritually healthy church, we have to be spiritually healthy. And sometimes we get the mindset as a Christian, as somebody as part of the local church, is like, well, I might not be as important as somebody else. Now, you know what I'm going to say. That's not true. Because we are all important to be part of the church. We're part of His body. So we know that to be true. But still, it's like, well, I don't have as big of a role as this person. And let me tell you how each and every person, let me remind us how each and every person helps their church. You be as spiritually healthy as you possibly can, and that helps your church. So, Pastor, what can I do to help the church? Be as spiritually healthy as you can. As your pastor, my goal, my vision for you is just to grow as a Christian. Just be the best Christian that you can possibly be. Just serve the Lord in the best way that you can serve Him. And we all ought to continue to grow. That's how we make our church healthy. Something I've asked you in the past is if every Christian had your spiritual health, how healthy would the church be? Often we're like, well, the pastor seems to be a little off. The pastor's been off for a long time. That ain't changing anytime soon. But it's like, you know, it's well, that person, they just don't seem to be with it. Or that person, they're just not doing the way they used to serve. And we know what we ought to do. We ought to say, well, how am I doing spiritually? How is my spiritual health? And so we look at these lessons each week collectively as a church. We want to be spiritually healthy as a church. But then we want to look at that as an individual. I want to be spiritually healthy as an individual Christian. We want to have a spiritually healthy home. You may not determine each and everything that you have to go through as a Christian. But you can determine, am I going to do the best I can to honor Christ? Am I going to do the best I can to grow as a Christian? Tonight, we look at Isaiah chapter number 40. We're going to look at another aspect tonight. And based on what I see in the crowd, this is a perfect study for this evening. God has ordained it. Let's look first at Isaiah chapter number 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but already it's like, I just don't have anything left in me. Let's read that again. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. You're not going to be, I wonder if God's got it figured out. He's got it figured out. Even he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Look at verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Hold your spot there. We'll come back to Isaiah 40. But flip over to Galatians chapter number 6, if you would. Galatians chapter number 6. A familiar verse of Scripture to us. If we're familiar with this book of the Bible, Galatians chapter 6. We'll look at one verse in this chapter, verse number 9. And let us not be weary. Now, it doesn't skip the next few words. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Tonight I want to teach on a healthy church handles weariness biblically. handles weariness biblically. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you tonight grateful for your word, grateful for the opportunity to learn from it. And Father, I pray that you would just use the Bible study tonight to help us organize our thoughts, guide our thoughts. May we increase in spiritual health tonight because of what is done this evening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we know this, that part of the Christian life, there's going to be weariness. The Bible tells us not to be weary in well-doing, but I've explained this before and very quickly. It doesn't mean you'll never get weary in well-doing. It just means don't stay there. It means to keep going. Don't make it the final chapter. But we need to understand that we can handle weariness biblically. Each and every one of us, and sometimes we get upset with ourselves, we get frustrated with ourselves, but it's like, I can't handle anymore. Let me help all of us. We can pretend when we come to church. We can put on our best, and I'm not just talking about what we wear, I'm talking about our best facade, if you will, and we like to not let anybody know that we are imperfect. But let me help us. I'm going to let it out tonight. We're all imperfect. We all have weaknesses. We all have a limit. We all have a certain amount of strength. We all have a certain amount of wisdom. And we all have a certain amount of patience. And those of you with small kids, they've been trampling all over that all the way to church, before church. We only have so much. And sometimes we get weary because we are not supernatural. And we get upset with ourselves like it is a spiritual failure when we get tired. Let me help you tonight. If you're weary, and that's pretty much most of you from what I can sense, that's not a sin for you to have a certain amount of energy. It's not a spiritual deficiency for you to get fatigued. But if we're not careful and we don't handle it right, it can slowly weaken the work of God. It can slowly weaken a church. Even strong churches get tired. Even strong churches get weary. This is a great misconception, I think, of church health, is the idea that a healthy church is never going to struggle with weariness. These are a bunch of super Christians, and sometimes we're weary. We look around and it's like, how come nobody else is weary? They're pretending just like you. We all get weary because life wears on us. Now, notice our text says weary in well-doing. Listen to me very clearly. You can get tired in the work of God. And if you are doing the work of God, you are going to get weary. And a lot of times, we let things go in our life because we're not because we don't want it, not because we don't believe in it. We're tired. Be very careful when you're weary. You know, you can be tired and an alarm clock goes off and you can convince yourself that the boss doesn't even care if you show up. You can convince yourself traffic will be light this morning. You can convince yourself, I don't need to shower. I don't need to do any of that. Why? Because you're weary and you want that extra 15 minutes of sleep. But you'll lie to yourself thinking it's going to be okay. We do that spiritually as well, don't we? We're weary and it's like, I can pull back in this area just a little bit. Now, there's a way that we should handle our weariness. But, you know, you can be sincere, you can be focused, and you can still have some discouragement, some emotional exhaustion. You can still feel a weight spiritually. That heaviness that you feel as a Christian, sometimes when you're in a spiritual battle. Why is this? Because serving God is demanding. Serving God goes against the nature of our flesh. Let's be honest tonight. It would have been much easier on you physically. It may be in other ways for you to stay home tonight instead of coming to the Bible study. We get weary in well-doing. And by the way, let me remind us all, and we know this, spiritual warfare is real. We have an enemy, the adversary, the devil. It's real. Our flesh wars against us, the Bible tells us. We can get weary of doing the right thing. See, Paul commanded that Paul never would have commanded this, that if weariness was not a real danger. See, healthy churches are not churches that never get tired, never get weary. Healthy churches are churches that learn how to handle weariness. in a scriptural way before it becomes decline. Your pastor gets weary. Why? Because he's flesh. Your leadership gets weary. Why? Because they're flesh. Young people, your parents get weary because of you and because they're flesh. We have limitations. And so if you sort of think about this, and let me just throw this in here. And some of you parents, and keep the pressure on your kids, but you need to understand something. They get tired too. And I'm constantly, sometimes I go to the different schools and different things. It's like, you need to cancel that. You need to pull that back. Why? Because we have kids, our young people, they're in school 5 days a week. Many of them are serving in ministry somewhere. They have soul winning ministries. They serve in nursing homes on Sunday afternoon. They're doing all of these things. And you're just like, why did you have a 98 this quarter instead of 100? And the thing to do is not take them out of service so they can bring that up 2 points. Because I'd rather them have the whole balance. But the point I'm making is they're going to get tired. You're going to get tired. So the answer is not, let's do less as a church. Pastor, we're tired. Let's do less. Friends, people are still dying and going to hell. The scripture still gives a mandate to reach the world with the gospel. Somebody you know needs to be encouraged. Somebody you know is wanting somebody to teach them truth. So how do we do this tonight? I've got several of these I'm going to give you, and some of these will be shorter than others. So if the first one's very, very long, don't get discouraged by that. Number one, a healthy church recognizes weariness before it becomes dangerous. Weariness doesn't arrive dramatically. It's all of a sudden, it's like, I'm tired. Or we say it like this, I'm just drained. What is that? It's weary. Now, in the life of a church, that right now, this time of year, it's weary. The parents of children, graduations, teachers, they're wearier than those of you that are retired and you're on the same schedule you're always on. Why? Because it's busy for them right now. So in the life of a church, there could be a segment that's weary and a segment that's not. There's life in the life of a church, there can be a time when the whole church is weary. And so it's important to understand that. And it's part of my responsibility as the pastor is to say, okay, how is everybody? Okay, we don't need to schedule that, or we need to pull back on that. And sometimes like, well, why did pastor cancel that? It's like, if everybody sleeps through the service on Sunday morning, we're going to pull back a little bit. Because I'm not shortening my sermon. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. But you get the point I'm making. You need to be honest with you, and you need to hear what I'm saying tonight when I say it's okay for you to get weary. It's okay. It's not a spiritual deficiency when you get tired physically, emotionally. But that weariness can develop quickly. Some say, how do you know, Pastor, if you're getting weary? Well, how easy are you getting discouraged? Sometimes discouragement comes because you're just physically tired. Sometimes discouragement comes because you're drained. Disappointment. You get weary from disappointment. Well, I'm just not going to put myself out there because I don't want to be disappointed again. All right, I put all the effort into the Sunday school class and they just fell by the wayside. And so what do? We get weary. Continual pressure in life makes us weary. Carrying burdens that we were never designed to carry makes us weary. You know, there is scripture that tells us, and I'll remind us very quickly, that we're supposed to cast our burdens on Him. Let me tell you, and I don't have time to really get into that now, but let me tell you what it's not. It's not giving them to Him and say thank you and let me take them right back and leave. Now, this takes some spiritual discipline, and we've all done that. I've done that. But sometimes we carry burdens we were never designed to carry. And why is that? Because there's some, what do I mean by that? There's some promises that we're supposed to put our faith in. And a lot of times we're carrying burdens God never intended us to carry because that's how we cast them on Him. He says He's going to take care of this. He says to put His faith in here. And so a lot of times we stick our nose where it doesn't belong. We end up carrying burdens we weren't supposed to carry in the first place. sometimes we do get overextended. We do, and I don't want you to, you know, try and abuse this, but there's been times when I've gone to church members and said, okay, you're going to pull back. You need to stop doing this because I think you're overextended. Say, Pastor, you tell people to serve God less? No, I tell people to stay balanced in the season of life and not overextend themselves. Now, some of you, I need to come to you and say, that thing I told them to stop doing, you need to start doing it. Because you're just looking, you're a little too spiritually spry hopping around here with all this energy. And there's a lot of work to do for God. But you can get overextended. And let me just say that. Hey, you go through, don't beat yourself up because you're in a season of life where you can't do what you once did. You know, when the young couple, you didn't have kids and you could do whatever you wanted to do. And, well, sign us up, Pastor, to do this. And then those kids come along and you're just like, we can't even survive. It's okay. Your parents felt the same way about you. You're in a season of life where you may not be able to. Now, you can use that as an excuse as you want. If you want to, I would encourage you not to. But then, you know, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you're very active, and as you get older, in your spirit and your mind, saying, I'm going to do that, and your body's like, no, it's not. You ain't doing that. You know, you have to listen to that. So I'm talking about that there's changes in life. If you're staying in conflict, that can wear on you. What happens when this happens in our life? Are you with me tonight? Our prayer life weakens. Because your spirit's weary. You're physically, you're weary. You believe in prayer. You still believe in prayer. You still believe God answers prayer. But that spirit, that will, that spiritual will is just not there. The joy of the Lord, it begins to fade. Well, I thought it was going to be all sunshine and rainbows serving Jesus. Well, it does pay to serve the Lord. It is worth it, but it doesn't mean it's always easy. Matter of fact, anything worthwhile is going to cost you something. I don't have time to get into that, but sometimes we start losing patience with people. You know, when everything's going good and you're feeling good and pastor is, you know, it's that 12 o'clock hour hits and he's still in the introduction, you're like, preach on, preacher. I love it. But then the pressures of life and everything gets to you, and it's like, you know, it's like turning your Bible. It's like, he's still reading? What's wrong with him? Doesn't he know we have places to go, people to see, all those kind of things? What is it? Our patient gets. And that's kind of a light illustration, but we can get impatient with one another. Then it becomes, you know, why are you standing in the middle of the aisle? Well, somebody's really, that got on their nerves. You know, why are you saying the things you're saying? Why aren't you doing, you know what I'm talking about, little things? And by the way, if we're a church family, we're going to get on each other's nerves. There's got to be some patience. But that becomes shorter. Our passion for God gets, it wanes. That fire becomes cool. We get weary. We still believe hell's hot. But I'm just so beat down and weary right now. I want people to be saved, but it's just like, it's not burning like it once burned. It doesn't mean you hate people and you want them to die and go to hell. It just means you've been under the pressure and life is just beating you down. And you're going to show up where you're supposed to show up and you're trying to do the best that you can do, but you're trying to just do it one more time and it's just not like it always has been. What happens then? Then attendance doesn't become necessary. It's just like it's routine. This is what we do. And if we're not careful, if church is just routine, eventually something breaks that routine. And we have a new routine. And we were just in church because it's what we did, not because of what we had to have. Right. Not because of what it did for us. Right. Not because it's a command. Ministry becomes mechanical. I believe in showing up to your spot because you're supposed to. I wish I could tell you I was never under, and every time it's like, man, I'm ready to go preach. But there have been times when I've been burdened, and it's like, that's where I'm supposed to be. There have been times when I haven't felt good. I've been sick. It's like, that's my spot. That's where I'm supposed to be. But those people need me to be there. We've all done that. But if that becomes, if you become weary in that, it's a danger, because then it's just, I just got to go do it to do it. See, if we're going to be healthy, we've got to learn to recognize the signs of our own weaknesses before they become a problem. And this is what we do many times as a Christian. We're quick to find everybody else's weaknesses. But we have a hard time looking ourselves in the mirror and being honest with our weaknesses. You know thyself. Start learning yourself. Okay, I know that I'm tired. On a normal Sunday, I could hear that story again by Mrs. So-and-so or Brother So-and-so. Not tonight. So prepare for that. If you start to feel your spirit get a certain way, recognize it. And we're going to see some other things we need to do. Number two, a healthy church understands that even godly people become weary. If you still have your Bible marked in Isaiah, we looked at verse number 30, and even the youth shall faint and be weary. See, that is reminding us, and it's like, well, even those that have the most, why is that important? Even those that have the most strength still get tired. It makes me think that you see these young kids running around, it's like, well, they got energy for days, and look at all that energy. It's like the Connor Listen and Jack and Henry will come over, and Henry don't say much, but, you know, Jack, he comes over and he just runs a circle, just a lap, just runs and runs and runs and runs and runs and runs. And he's like, do you chase him? Nope. He just runs and runs and runs. He's got all that energy. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you just fell asleep when I was describing that, running and running. But then what do those children do? They crash. They run out of energy. You and I run out of energy. That's the point of Isaiah 40:30. And even a greater point, and please don't miss this, is the Bible is very honest, very transparent about human weakness. We are very good at using as an excuse, if you will, for our failures, but then not acknowledging our weakness at the same time. What we must be reminded of is being weak is normal. Now, we don't just accept that, and I want to be we read about what God has for us. We'll get to that. But think about this. Elijah, the prophet Elijah, who called fire down from heaven, you know that story? Slew 450 prophets of Baal. He sat under a juniper tree discouraged. Now, if you were around then and you saw Brother Elijah discouraged, you'd be like, God's done with him. What's his problem? Well, his problem is he's human just like you and I are. Some of you need to give yourself a break. And what I mean by that is you're human, you have weakness. Don't hide behind your weakness, because there's grace that God gives that allows us to do beyond what we're capable of doing with those weaknesses without Him. But some of you, you're doing better than you, well, I feel this way. That's normal. David, how many times do we read his Psalms and he speaks of the tears and heaviness? The one who played the harp, the comforting music, so much of his life was of heaviness and tears. We rejoice and we hold on a pedestal, and nothing wrong with it, David killing Goliath, King David, but how much of his life was just heaviness and tears. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, what a great, great Christian. Can we all agree on that? Amen. Amen. You know, just if you think you got it together as a Christian, just read the life of Paul. Great Christian. But he described trouble on every side of him. Even he said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. He was bound by his flesh. Might I remind us again, weariness is not always carnality. Now, you can be carnal in your weariness. But we can't confuse the two. Just because you're weary does not mean you're carnal. It means you're human. It's like, well, I was so tired, I didn't feel like coming to church. I'm a horrible Christian. No, it means you're human. It means you have physical limitation. Well, I just couldn't do this anymore. It means you're human. It doesn't necessarily mean you're carnal. Now, again, you can be carnal in your weariness, but just because you're weary doesn't mean you're carnal. Sometimes your weariness is just the reality of carrying heavy burdens in this sin-sick world. And we have to carry burdens, and sometimes they're heavier than other times. And sometimes God ordains for whatever reason you to carry burdens that others do not have to carry. And just because you get tired under a heavy load doesn't mean you're carnal. It means you are human and you need the help of God. But I've got good news, no matter how heavy that burden is, God is enough to help you carry it. It's like if we took, you know, somebody, an athlete of some sort, and we just kept loading them down with a heavy weight and a heavy weight and said, now run that race. You take a world-class Olympic athlete, you watch them run, and it's like, well, back in the day I'd have smoked you, but not today. Then you weigh them down. Well, so heavy that they have a hard time finishing. Well, they're not running, they're barely walking. I mean, with a right mind, we're not saying loser. We're like, man, look at the heavy load they're carrying. But see, we can't see with our spiritual eyes. And we're especially in our own situation. The reason why you feel the way you feel, the reason why it's harder to get things going, the reason why it's harder to be in your place, it just very might be that you're tired from carrying that heavy old burden. That doesn't mean you're carnal. It doesn't mean you're backslidden. It just means you're weary. And by the way, as a church and a church family, one another, we ought to understand that about one another. You know, I have a rule that I try and live by, and that's everybody gets a chance to be human. When somebody is a little bit short with you or a little bit curt, instead of being like, what's going on in their life? Maybe they're carrying a heavy burden. And there's never an excuse for being rude. So don't smart, you know, don't, I almost said cuss somebody out, but, on the way out, don't do that either. And be like, I'm just weary, Pastor said, I'm just human. No, that's not what I'm saying. But you get the point that I'm making. Number three, a healthy church learns the difference between rest and quitting. Here we go. This is going to get good now. A healthy church learns the difference between rest and quitting. One of Satan's favorite lies is, if you're tired, stop. If you're weary and you have those burdens, resign. But friend, there's a difference in resting and abandoning. Just as, if you'll permit me to use myself as an illustration, in the office of the pastor, there's a heavy burden. The pastor gets weary, physically weary, emotionally weary, spiritually weary. And if I have to learn myself to know myself to say, okay, I'm going to stop and rest. But that doesn't mean I'm going to abandon my calling. And if I have to rest because I have a finite amount of strength, a finite amount of patience, a finite amount, and God helps me, but I'm still human. That doesn't mean I'm going to abandon my calling. Likewise, if you're carrying the burdens of this world and you're faced with circumstances you didn't understand, and but if you're not a Sunday school teacher, you may have to rest a little, but it doesn't mean you abandon your calling. It doesn't mean you say, okay, family, we just can't keep up with everything. We're just going to lay out of church. How many times have I heard that, and I've pled with people that never ends up good? We just need to take a step back from God. They don't say it like that, but that's what they're saying. And then we'll get back in. No, you don't need to quit on God, but you might need some rest. Pastor, I just had open heart surgery. I'll be in my class on Sunday. Well, you might want to just watch the live stream on Sunday. And if you've been a member here, you know I don't push you hard. I challenge all of us to do everything we do for God. And if we can do more, do more. But you understand what I'm saying. There's a difference in resting and abiding. Even Jesus himself told the disciples, come ye yourselves apart. He said, why? To rest a while. Even Jesus, 100% God in flesh, said, I'm going to rest my flesh. And he gave that example. Sometimes, and so whatever that looks like depends on what your situation is. But there's times when we need to be renewed in our spirit. You know, sometimes your spiritual leaders, your Sunday school teacher, even your pastor, you know, they need encouragement. You need encouragement. I do my best with God as my helper to, if I can put it like this, keep my finger on the pulse of the church and what does the church need. Some of you are going to avoid me now because unless something keeps me from doing it, before the service, I walk all the way around and I try and make myself accessible. You say, Pastor, you're just an extrovert. I am the opposite of an extrovert. That's an introvert. You just like us. No, I can't stand you, but I just have to... What am I doing? I do want to see you, but what am I doing? I'm feeling the pulse. I'm checking the pulse. I'm what is going on with that person? Well, and so many times it's like, what are you doing over here? Mr. Ruth, get back over there on your side. Because we want to understand who do we need encouragement? What person needs, imagine that's a ministry in itself. If we just said, let me find somebody that seems a little weary and encourage them. Not walk up to them and be like, you look horrible. What's wrong with you? Everybody who serves needs strengthening at some point. Let me help us. You know, rest is biblical. Rest is biblical. You and your family, there's a difference. And being lazy and understanding when you need rest. It's like, there's nothing wrong with this. And on Monday, I do take it a little easier, but I've never been able to say, this day's my day off. I'm just not wired that way. But I do get to a point where it's like, okay, I've got to stop and take a little bit of time. And can I just be transparent with you tonight? I feel bad about that. My wife and I just said, no, we're going to take some days next week with everything that's been going on. We're going to be out of town next week. And she's been like, we need to do something. I said, oh, no. But then the other day, I was like, we got to do something. Because, you know, I get to the point where it's like, I need some rest. I feel bad about that because I always want to be available. But that's something we got to get out of our head. Nobody's infallible. Nobody's got perfect health. Nobody's got perfect strength. And even the healthiest physically, you are going to get wore down. It's a spiritual thing. I say, how can I back that up? Okay, let's just start with creation. On the seventh day, God rested. Now, I know there's a picture there of his day. God didn't need to rest because he was tired. You know, Jesus, I guess, gave an example. He said, come apart. There are times when we get weary. If we don't take care of it, we're going to quit. Rest is biblical, but quitting is not. Right. Pastor, my family and I, we need some rest. We're going to take a year off. You're off from what? From church, just wearing us out. Well, you know, cancel your Saturday plans before you cancel Sunday plans. Why are you so tired? Well, all day Saturday, we're in the sports leagues. We do this and this, and we're in this group and this group and this group. Well, Pastor, it doesn't say anything in the Bible. I'm not, okay, fine. But it does say something about prioritizing what is the most important. If you get weary, you don't want to cut out God. That's quitting. Let me help you. We're going to transition. Are you with me? The answer to weariness is not withdrawal. Rest and withdrawal are not the same thing. The answer to weariness is renewal. And sometimes there are members here tonight, they've been members that are not here tonight, they've been members of this church for 40 plus years. They're older than they used to be, and they just ran out of gas. Not literally on the side of the road, but they're physically not able to be here. Pastor, do you get on? No, I don't get on to them. You say, well, so-and-so said they're sick again. Do you ever consider they might be sick? You say, if you have physical things that keep you from being church, I want you to, sometimes you got to push through. If God has allowed you to have disease, and God's allowed you to have those limitations, sometimes you've got to push through. But there's sometimes you can't. And if you can't and you get weary and you get wore down, I want you to understand something. You do the best you can. But don't quit. Don't quit. Well, I can't be where I want to be all the time. Be there when you can. Just don't quit. It's different. Number four, a healthy church renews its strength through God. Verse 31, well-known verse, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Strength is renewed, not manufactured. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And let me just, I don't have time to go all the way through this verse, but just for clarification, wait upon the Lord doesn't mean you're sitting there with your arms folded and say, God, I'm waiting for God to do something. I'm up in age now and I'm tired. I'm waiting for him to make, I told him, he says, if he'd make me feel like I'm 30 again, I'd serve him. That's not what that's talking about. It's certainly waiting on his strength, but that strength comes with service, with engagement. See, you can try and manufacture strength and renewal, but it has to come from the right source. How do you wait on the Lord? How is that spiritual strength sustained? Well, prayer helps. The scripture helps. Do we understand what we have here in God's Word? This is a supernatural book. Supernatural. This book is God's Word. It's an anvil, it's a hammer, it's so many things. It's supernatural. Why? It's because if God says it's going to happen. Because He's God. So, it's also called, it's like water. It cleanses us. You know why a lot of people don't like reading the Bible? Because it's a mirror. This is the way a lot of Baptists like to do it. They like to go around this and say, see what you are? See what you are? See what you are? Look at them and see what you are. But no, the Bible is intended for us to be like, oh, wretched man that, oh. Let's skip that. Definitely not talking about me. Brother Montgomery, have you read that chapter? You know, I mean, it's not talking about me. It's a mirror. It will help us. I've mentioned this before, and it's a good illustration. There have been times I've been with some despair, and I've been discouraged, and I'm down, I'm weary, how am I going to get through this? It's like, well, I guess I'll just go to God. And then I get on my knees and pray to God, and you know what happens? There's something inside of me that gives me a little strength, because I'm talking to the God of the universe. And I'm reminded, and the Spirit of God is helping me pray and ministering to me, explaining. I can't explain it except for that God does that. He strengthens us when we're in His presence. Then I get up and it's like, what has changed in those few minutes that you're praying? Nothing as far as I'm concerned, except what has happened inside of me. I guess I'll go on one more day. Or we read the Bible, well, this is the last time, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. It's like, then we're just renewed. If somebody quits on God, I can tell you they're not renewing their strength. They have to get in the Bible. What else helps? Some of you, you're with me on prayer, aren't you? You're with me on the Scripture. Fellowship renews your strength. Well, I'm discouraged. I don't want to be around everybody. Hold on. Hold on. Are you ready for this? It's going to hurt. It's going to sting a little bit. I don't want to be around everybody. That's a sign that you need to be around everybody. Well, I'm not a people person. You're about to be. Not in the way you think, but people are going to be all around you. I understand difference of personalities. I understand insecurities. And that doesn't mean you have to go around being the life of the party at church. But there is something about being in the same building, the same room, with brothers and sisters in Christ. The Spirit of God in you bears witness with the Spirit of God in them, and it's strengthening, it's encouraging. Well, explain all that to me. I can't explain it all to you. I just know it works. And that's part of why, I mean, have you noticed how discouraging and depressing the world gets? And perilous, in the last days, perilous times will come. You know what I'm talking about? All these things are bad things are happening. They're discouraging, aren't they? Now, do you think there's any correlation to the same book also saying, so much the more as we see at the signs of His appearance? Meaning, we should assemble more during those perilous times. Why? Because it's encouraging. It's edifying. So, that's how a healthy church renews its strength. We get it from God. We get it through prayer. We get it through Scripture. You get it through fellowship. I watch, and when I see somebody withdrawing, it's like, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. Because we are not designed to isolate ourselves from God's people. We're just not. You say, well, I don't like that. Take it up with Him. You say, well, Pastor, it's not fair. I'm not an extrovert. Well, that's just, God made you that way, and that's just an area that you got to have God's help with. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with, I mean, there might be other things wrong with you, but it doesn't mean that's wrong with you. It just means that's something else that you got to have God's help with. I had an appointment with one of our young men this afternoon before church, and that's one of the things I was talking about with him as he plans his future, what God has for him. I said, now the personality, this and that, call to preach. I said, I'm an introvert. He said, and I said, I know you're going to look at me like everybody looks at me when I say that. Because you look at me now behind the pulpit and it's like, he won't shut up. But that's not my personality. When I was growing up, when I was in high school, I joke about this. It's like, there's an oral poem I was skipping. I did not like getting up in front of people. But I had to call the preacher up to reconcile that. That's just something I had to give to God. So it's like, I don't like people. I don't want to be in church. But you need people. We need that dependence on God. You know why God, you know, we're the fall of man, our sin nature, we have weaknesses because of that, obviously. But you know when we get weary, it's a good reminder of, I got to have God. I got to have Him. I'm at the end of my strength. I'm at the end of my understanding. I'm at the end of my wisdom. But can I remind you? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the energized. He giveth power to the strong. That's not what it says. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. So you know when you're weary and you don't think you can go on, and you're like, I just got to depend on God. Can I remind you? And that's a scary place to be for us in our minds. But can I remind you that he gives power to the faint? Those are like, I just don't know if I can go anymore. Hang on. You depend on him and he'll give you. Explain that. I can't. Except I can tell you I've lived it. When I said, I'm just gonna try and go forward one more day. And it's like, wow, I got through this day. We can try that again tomorrow. And he gives strength to those that are fainting. That's dependence on God. And as a church, as an individual, you have to have that dependence on him. But may I say to all of us tonight, as a church, we cannot get self-sufficient in our organization. We cannot get self-sufficient in what we do. We have to depend on him. He's got to give us the strength that we need. Number five, and I've got to hurry, a healthy church, this is important. A healthy church refuses to let weariness produce cynicism. I have watched good Christians become cynical to spiritual things. Are you following me? They did not become cynical because they didn't believe truth. They became cynical. They became a critic towards those things because they got weary and did not handle it correctly. What's the point? Well, maybe the point is we're supposed to do it. Well, I'm just tired of being let down. You know, when we get to that place, and trust me, I don't like being let down. What does that even mean? Let me help us with all of that. They let me down. You mean they were human. Have we let anybody down? Sure we have. I'm not saying it feels good. Well, Pastor, I just don't want to be betrayed anymore. Okay, go talk to somebody else about that. Well, I've seen this all before. I mean, what do you think God's seen before? And we become cynical. Oh, you hear things like, you depend on God. Oh, God, depend on God. That didn't stop this from happening or this from happening. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We can become cynical. Your pastor can become cynical if he's not careful. I know what it's like to pour my life into somebody. And those very people are the ones that try and hurt you and destroy you. It'd be easy to say, good luck. Or they skip church, they miss, they ignore. You say, you might want to make that decision. Who do you think you are? Then they come back to you with all the pieces and say, can you put this back together? It'd be very easy to say, I guess that church service was important that you weren't at. Now, that might be true, but I would be 100% wrong for having that attitude. But if I don't watch it when I get weary and stop and say, hold on. And sometimes it's like, well, Pastor, I text Pastor. He hadn't texted me back. Don't read into that. I might feel something in my spirit that says, I don't want nobody talking to me. I'm out of the office. I'm going somewhere where it's just me. Why? So I can renew my spirit. Because I can feel myself getting weary. When I'm weary, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about me. I don't care as much as I do when I'm not weary. Now, don't leave here judging my pastor when he gets tired. He does it. Okay, you don't pay attention quite as well either, okay? Why? Because it's easy for me to say, well, that book, it certainly hadn't prevented this, and standing for right certainly hasn't prevented this from happening, and I'm preaching the truth, and these people leave anyway, and I'm just tired of it. I know better men than me who that's happened. And not only did they leave the truth, they're not even in church. Did they hate God? No. Did they love people? Yes. What happened? They got weary and they did not respond correctly to it. That cynicism will kill a church. It kills the vision. It kills the expectation of what we can expect from God. It takes away our compassion. It chokes our faith. You and I, as a church, we must guard against becoming emotionally hardened. You know what? I still believe that God is still at work. I still believe that souls still matter. You know, I still believe that revival is still possible. I get aggravated seeing people's position on things and their justification for things, and I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, my IQ just dropped 20 points by just reading that. And some things in Scripture are just so simple and elementary to me, and just so, it's just, how come we can't see it? And it's like, this one is saying this, and this one's saying this, and I'm like, how can we be any spiritually, we can be more spiritually dumb. But if we're not careful, we can all just say, well, because of that, I don't think God, truth of the matter is, if revival happens, it will happen in spite of us, not because of us. Now, we have a formula for it. And here's the thing, well, I did this. I got tired of this party being in charge, so I pulled this verse out. And so now we're going to pray and ask God. We're going to skip the change our ways part. We all on board with that? All in favor? Okay, we're skipping that part where he says, we change our wicked ways. That's only for Washington, D.C. Anybody out there? But us? No, not us. And then we're like, God, why didn't you send revival? We can do everything that we should do. God doesn't have to send revival. Why not? He's God. But can I tell you, God wants to send revival? And I still believe that God wants to send revival, and revival is possible. I still believe prayer changes things. Don't become cynical when you get tired. You know, my jokes aren't as funny when you're tired. Some of you are very tired tonight. Let me just tell you. The choir doesn't sound as good when you're tired. That Sunday school lesson is not as helpful when you're tired. A lot of people have left church, and it was because they were weary, not because the church changed. They dropped out, not because they hated God, not because they hated the people they went to church with. They're just tired, and they didn't handle it right. They turned cynical. Number 6. This one's going to be real short. A healthy church strengthens one another. That weariness, everyone in here is going to get weary at some point. Some of you are weary tonight. Our church is going to get weary from the battle, from the period of time that we're in. You know, when we're fighting over parking spaces and there's a line for the restroom and they're saying, you can get tired of that. You can get weary in that. But see, a healthy church strengthens one another. That weariness becomes very dangerous from anybody and everybody when they have to carry that burden alone. Now, there are some things that God designed to set on your shoulders and you're going to have to carry it. But it doesn't mean you don't have somebody praying for you. It doesn't mean you don't have somebody walking alongside of you. And a healthy church pays attention to one another. I'm not talking about getting in somebody's business. But you notice when the shoulders are a little stooped. Now, this is what you don't do. You don't go to them and say, tell me all about it, hon. That's not what you do. You notice they're stooped and you say, I'm going to pray for them. Or you make a point and say, hey, good to see you tonight. You send them a note. You do something nice for them. Say, Pastor, I can't find a ministry. How about that one? How about just paying attention to the people around you in your section on your, who's not here? Or who's a little tired tonight? I don't want them to have to carry that burden alone. We encourage one another. Get out of the ministry of discouragement and get into the ministry of encouragement. This is figuratively speaking, of course, but we need a place out in the foyer where some of you can leave your buckets of cold water outside. So why are they bringing cold water in? For somebody else's fire, for somebody else's smile, somebody else's blessing. I mean, just dump cold water on that. No, we ought to be in the business of encouragement. And I'm just going to make a point that I'm going to be friendly. I'm going to be cordial. We help one another. We support one another. The book of Hebrews reminds us that we consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Can I say it like this? There might be somebody in the service tonight that they're just one encouraging word away from quitting. Meaning they were going to quit, but somebody said an encouraging word to them and said, well, you know, I guess I can keep going a little more. You say, Pastor, people get that way? If you haven't been there, you'll be there. Why? Because we have that weariness that we get. We want to strengthen one another. Then number 7, the last one. A healthy church keeps its eyes on the eternal harvest. I love Galatians 6:9. Let's not be weary in well-doing. We should pay attention to that command. But verse 9 continues, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. See, if we don't faint, if we don't quit, if we're honest tonight, you know, we've been in some spiritual battles, we're in battles, it gets weary. But why do we do it? Because there's a harvest coming. If we faint not, we're going to reap. Mom and Dad, you get weary rearing those children and fighting off the things of this world and holding the line and you know, you just get all these influences figured out, and then the devil invents a whole lot more in this day of technology. It's like, now I got to figure all this out. I can't even operate a Ring doorbell, much less all the apps and everything that these people have. And you get weary and you get tired. But let me tell you, fight through it. Don't quit. Because the day will come, you'll see the fruit of that. See, seeds are planted. Let me remind us, long before the harvest appears. I've used this in illustration before, but you don't plant a seed today and go reap it tomorrow. You've got to continue. And if I can put it like this, there are people who have, sadly, it's exactly what I'm teaching tonight. They planted seeds by investing in other people and investing in the gospel, investing in things of God. And before they ever got to a place to see the full fruit of that, they got weary and they fell by the wayside. There's a great harvest for us. We keep our eyes on that eternal harvest. Say, Pastor, when you get tired and you're weary, what keeps you going? I keep my eyes away from me. You know, I try and keep them on eternal things. Say, well, how do you do that? Well, sometimes it's you. It's like you need your pastor. But your pastor needs you. We need each other. We get tired and we want to just look at the fact, everything that's going on with this. I recognize myself. I didn't know myself. I know when I'm getting weary, but I want to keep my eyes on that which is eternal. Why? Because faithfulness matters. Faithfulness matters a lot more than your talent. Now, you should be faithful whatever talent God's given you, but faithfulness matters. Can I remind you, God knows you're weary. God knows your heart. I just can't
do that right now. I just can't get through that. I'm just weary, and I feel bad about being weary. God knows you're weary. God, was it last week on the mercy I talked about? He knows we're flesh. He knows our situation. And might I say, we just are supposed to, I'm supposed to run my race, and God's supposed to take care of all the results. For me personally, I know that when it's time to get up and teach the Word of God, preach the Word of God, I'm just supposed to do in the best of my ability, and what God will do with that, whatever He sees fit to do with it. But the same is true in your area of service. The same is true when you get up. The same is true as you're rearing your children. The same is true as you're trying to have a spiritual home. Scripture tells us in verse number 9, for in due season we shall reap. And can I say, as God's church and this church family, when one person reaps, we all reap. Well, you know, they had a record day in Sunday school, but we didn't. I'm not excited about that. Well, you should be. Why? Because we're all reaping. I've been praying for 12 years and God hadn't answered me. Well, He might have. It might be no. But it might not be in His timing yet. Well, how come they prayed and God answered that prayer? We don't know all of that. It's up to God. But let's all be excited. Hey, we're still here. We didn't always run it like we wanted to run the race. We didn't always do it with the flair that we would like to do it with. But if we just showed up, we just stayed in the fight, there may be regrets we look back on, but at the end of the day, we're still here. God has sustained us. And the things that you have been through, the journey that God has had for you, the burdens that God has had that had you carry, you're still surviving. We reap. Pastor, I don't know if I'll ever see it down here, but I know where you will see it. You'll see it up there. How important is it for me just to show up when I don't feel like it? It's pretty important. But I don't think we know how important until we are up there with Him. I conclude, I think as a church, we ought to be as organized as we possibly can be. I think we ought to focus on growth and as an individual Christian, as a church, and God's blessing with growth. I think we ought to be busy doing the work of God. Not busy for the sake of being busy, but busy serving. But faithfulness matters. You can't always, if I can say it like this, have your A game. But you can still participate. Pastor, I'm not promising you much in the song service, but I'm here. I'll take it. So you won't look down on me? No, because I've been there. I've been there. There's been times in my life where it's just, if I could just slip in the back, that'd slip out. I know what it's like to be in those situations. And if I wasn't willing to just acknowledge that weakness, that frailty, that overwhelming feeling of what are people going to think, I wouldn't be standing before you tonight preaching the Word of God. Don't faint in the work. How do I avoid that? You got to renew that strength. You got to spend time. Well, I just don't feel like reading the Bible. That's when you need to read it. I don't feel like praying. Pray. I just don't feel like going and hearing some man yell at me today. Well, I'm not talking about church. What are y'all laughing at? We have to tap into those spiritual things. Hey, let's all encourage one another. Let's all, and again, it's not, tell me all about it so I can know how to pray. No, I'll just notice and I'll pray. I'll encourage. Well, if they're not going to tell me, then I'm not going to pray for them. That's probably a favor. Because you're probably not in the spiritual mindset to pray. Let's encourage one another. Let's keep one another in prayer. Let's walk alongside one another. Hey, you want to be spiritually healthy as a church? Amen. It means we're never tired. No, that's not what the Bible says. It means we quit when we're tired. That's not what the Bible says. It means we find a way to renew that strength. If you're weary tonight, why don't you take some time tonight before you go to bed and say, God, would you help me renew? Don't turn the TV on when you get home. Put your phone down. I meant when you get home, but do it now too. And instead of scrolling to fall asleep, why don't you read your Bible for a few minutes? Why don't you stop and say, God, I know I'm carrying this burden right now, and it's weighing on me. It's okay to confess your humanity and weakness to God. He knows. He's very well aware. But based on what I know from God in the Scripture, we have a God in heaven, a Heavenly Father, says, I know. Now let me give you my strength. I'll get you up in the morning. I'll get you through that. And how many times, if I could testify and say a principle or verse has popped in my mind that I wasn't even reading, that's what I'm going to hold to today. And when my knees buckled a little, I remember that verse. I said, but God said, and I go a little bit further and a little bit further. Father, help us to be